The Worth Report, featuring Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright. We'll take a look at the past, present, and future of the financial landscape and discuss how it affects you, your family, and the world around you. This is The Worth Report. Now, here are your hosts, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Good Saturday. Welcome to The Worth Report. If it's Saturday morning, it's The Worth Report. I'm your host, Nick Wharton, along with Glenn Wright, founder and president of Worth Financial. Each week, we'll bring you news that you can immediately use to manage your financial planning and offer commentary on local, national, and global events that will affect your ability to sustain your financial future. Glenn, my friend, I know you've been traveling. How are you doing today?
Doing fantastic, Nick. I'll tell you, just getting back from New York. I was actually at the draft. We had a couple of athletes who were actually in the draft this year. A couple of clients. So it was fantastic. It was great to see. It was moving parts everywhere, movers and shakers, and it's just always a very interesting place to see. But the one thing I'll say about it is you see so many posses and entourages with these guys.
I bet.
You know, the ones who tend to do well are the ones who have maybe one or two people with them.
Of course.
But then you see some people who have 20 and 30. It's like, you know, who could? No one else has a job but one person.
What's that all about?
You know what it's all about.
Right.
What can you do for me?
So you know, we've been taking this journey over the last few weeks. We've been talking about weddings and the amazing cost of weddings. We've even had a conversation about financial infidelity. Ooh. So we've gone a lot of very interesting places.
We have. This month is certainly all about the family. And this one, it's about the family as well.
Well, yeah, it sure is. You know, our opening song, Johnny Taylor's iconic song, written in 1973, is Cheaper to Keep Her.
Cheaper to Keep Her, Nick.
Oh, my goodness. Illustrates the financial impact of actually selfish decisions some men have made, right, that can lead to, as one writer, Thomas Scarlett, says in the Street magazine, divorce feeling like your wallet is just ripped out of your heart.
Mm.
Is that something? Now, of course, it sort of emphasized, you know, a time and space where men were absolute breadwinners. Things have changed, right? Women have much more decisions about what's going to happen to them in the face of divorce.
That's right.
But let's be clear, it is really a matter of financial turmoil when divorce happens. What do you think, Glenn?
It is. You know, Nick, it's interesting. We look back at the dynamics of maybe our parents or maybe even our grandparents where women were expected to be more at home. And men were expected to go out and make it happen and be more of the hunters and make the money. But those roles have certainly changed. And because of that, it looks like there's a dynamic on where people are really trying to find where they fit in the modern day family. So we see so many people, as we've mentioned in earlier episodes, getting married later.
Yes.
In life instead of getting married when, you know, a few years ago, about, was it 1990, the average age was 23, and now it's going to 27, and even in some cities like Washington, it's in the mid-30s.
Wow,
for the average
really?
Age for the first marriage. It's growing and growing.
That's incredible.
So it's just a very interesting time, I think, overall. And it's important to make sure, hopefully, as we mentioned before, that when you marry right. But also, as we're going to talk about today, as Johnny Taylor truly said, it is cheaper to keep her on both sides of the track now, because now women, as you said, Nick, are making just as much or very close to as men. They're in the same positions. And I have actually been a character witness. See, whenever someone has some money, then typically the accountant or the financial planner comes in for the divorce settlement as a character witness. And unfortunately, I've been in several of those. Mm-hmm. To see and really talk about the assets. Mm-hmm. So, and I've seen on the other side where actually women have actually made more than the man.
Yes.
And they had to pay.
Right.
The alimony, or they had to give money of their retirement accounts.
Sure.
So it was interesting.
It is because it's commonly thought that the divorce rate is like 50%, you know. And in actuality, you know, that rate has really gone down. It's actually like 41%. And one of the reasons is because, as you mentioned earlier, women have more choices. They have more say. They have more resources. And, you know, the notion of ending the relationship they're in charge of a lot of that dynamic.
They are.
They're no longer the ones who are left to fend for themselves
in the
face of divorce. You know, so it's sort of changed. So one of the things that I wanted to kind of talk about is some of the statistics we've been seeing that's been highlighted in the Fiscal Times.
Okay.
It talks about the fact that older couples in their 50s, somehow the divorce rate in that age category seems to be somewhat on the rise.
Mm.
And it's been causing a great deal of impact in terms of one's financial stability. When you're closer to retirement, that causes all kinds of upheaval. What can you learn from that?
It does. Well, you know, first of all, if you think about it, you have two people in the household. If they're in one household, then it's going to cost you less money to live off of, right? We're going to have to pay one mortgage if we have a mortgage, or pay rent, you know, only one rent. And it's the more people you feed, the cheaper per person it becomes. So what happens is now hopefully they had a plan in place where they're going to plan for their golden years in retirement, but something happens and it didn't work out. Now you have two different households, you have two different expenditures, and everything now changes.
Right.
And the other thing about divorce is it's emotional as well on both sides. So you've heard the term emotional spending.
Sure.
So it's certainly emotional. So then you tend not to make all the correct decisions as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I've certainly seen that.
Wow.
Too. So those are the areas, you know, the emotional spending, the two different now expenses that you have overall that really can cause demise. And then so now let's say you have $1 million that you're supposed to save. That's my nest egg. That's the amount of money. That's great when I turn 65. But now you have to give half of that over to the other spouse.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And everything changes. So now you may have to work a little bit longer in order to accomplish your goals.
Yeah. Yeah. Because in that same Fiscal Times article, it sort of highlighted that the divorce rate among those between 55 and 64 has more than doubled, while the rate among couples 65 and over has tripled. Overall, about one in four couples over 50 divorce. Now, you know, in spite of the commentary we just made about women earning equal or even more, you know, today, this age group, right, these are the ones who haven't perhaps not seen that level of growth. And in fact, when divorce happens in that age group, it's a terrible, terrible circumstance. And in fact, the women in that age group, their poverty rate has gone up significantly because they may not have had the career, you know, aspirations because they've been raising families and so forth.
Absolutely.
And so they fall into a very difficult category.
I've seen this, Nick, not just when through divorce, but even when a spouse in that age group has died early on, where they actually don't even know how to pay a bill. They've never paid a bill before.
Right.
You know,
right.
They don't understand they don't know where anything is because the other spouse typically took care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be devastating. But now you're put in this position to make all of these decisions.
Wow.
I've even met with a couple of clients who had financial planners, but the financial planners in that generation only met with the husband, never really met with the wife.
Wow.
Right. So what happens then? So now they don't have a relationship. They don't know who to trust, who not to trust. And so they literally have to start over. So it can be devastating. And the first place is to look at who do you have around you? Who's your support system if anything happens?
Mm-hmm.
You know, death is a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, divorce happens all too much.
Right.
So if that's the case, then what are you going to do to make sure that you are prepared and your family is prepared for that?
Right. So with respect to retirement plans, which varies across the board, state to state, industry to industry, region to region, how do families, it's hard because when you're going through a divorce, everyone's emotional, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing that I suppose a couple wants to do is cooperate. right? And barely even speak to the other person, right?
Right. That's right. Typically.
But yet there are these matters, right? Financial matters that have to be dealt with. And some of them have to deal with their retirement plan and all kinds of financial instruments. I mean, how does that work out?
It's really tough. One area that I've seen that's a mistake, and again, this has been more emotional and not having the right resources.
Mm-hmm.
If someone gets divorced, let's say the one spouse has worked their entire lives, the other spouse stayed at home, and now they're getting a divorce, then typically half of their retirement mm-hmm. will need to go to the other spouse, the non-working spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's called, well, I've seen some bad choices made where they've taken the money out of their retirement, paid the tax on the money, and then give it to the spouse. So that's the wrong thing to
do.
That's the wrong thing to do. You definitely want to roll it over
mm-hmm.
in what's called a qualified domestic relations order.
I see.
Right, or quadro,
mm-hmm.
where it's just a simple rollover, a simple exchange. It goes to now the non-working spouse's IRA, retirement account.
Sure.
Where they can take the money out over time and not have to be burdened in paying all that tax at one time. Because of that, if it's a significant number, they could pay 40-50% in taxes.
That's a lot.
Versus paying 5-10%. Because if the other spouse did not work, then they don't have an income.
That's
so
correct.
If this is the income, then you'd rather take it out over time where they might pay very, very little in tax versus being hit dramatically. Because for that person, once that money's gone, it's gone.
It's gone.
So it's important to make sure that if you're going through a divorce, to get a quadro in place.
Wow. Well, clearly divorce is expensive.
Whew.
Right? Lawyers, we're talking so many factors to consider. Two households. You know, when we come back, we're going to delve a little bit deeper into this.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right? So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
You listen to The Worth Report.
You're listening to The Worth Report with Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright. Giving you financial news you can use.
I've just never been fluent in finances. Let's face it. I can make money, and I'm really good at spending money. But beyond that, not so much. But that's where Worth Financial, Glenn Wright, and his team come in. You see, when it comes to financial literacy, they're like translators. They've helped me understand my finances and how I can make my finances work for me now, tomorrow, and well into the future. And they can do the same for you. In fact, I'd encourage you to pick up the phone right now and call Worth Financial. You'll be doing yourself a huge favor. So call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or simply visit worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com. Hey, there's nothing wrong with speaking a new language.
Giving you financial news you can use. This is The Worth Report with Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
If you're tied up, you better stay tied up because it's cheaper to keep her. This is from T. It says, it's cheaper to keep her. It's cheaper to keep her.
Welcome back to The Worth Report. As you heard, it's cheaper to keep her, and it's cheaper to keep him. How's that? Let's say that too.
I know it.
Right?
In 2016.
Oh my goodness! So let's talk about the expense of this major change of life. Attorneys.
So, you're thinking about now I'm going to get a divorce, and now you have to pay, and it's so emotional. Again, and I've seen this. You get the only people who really win are attorneys. You know, when you look at this, I remember, my parents got divorced, and I just remember the attorneys. And
you've talked about that before.
Yeah, I just remember the attorneys and them writing these checks to these attorneys, and you know, it was just not a really good scene at all. They were the ones who really benefited because, again, you have to find someone who you should be able to trust. You think, you know, attorneys are fiduciaries, which many of them are incredible. and even divorce attorneys. Many of them are incredible. However, not all of them.
Right.
And, you know, I saw that with my mother and what she went through. And I also made note of, you know, who are the resources around you? So my mother, as I've mentioned in an earlier episode, actually talked to her attorney about which home should she keep. And see, for the attorney, it was really all about the win.
Right.
See, we had a small home in Southfield that we rented. I mean, in, in Detroit that we rented out. And the larger home was in Southfield. So the win was to have the house in Southfield. Right. But we really couldn't afford that house.
Sure.
So he was more on that than he was really thinking about, in my opinion, about her best interest. So that's why it's so important to make sure you have somebody that has their head screwed on the right way and really thinking about your best interest, because you can make mistakes that could cost you 20 years. And if you're 50, Nick, then what? You know, you get whole when you're 70. That could be a problem.
Well, thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah.
I felt that. But, you know, this notion of getting trapped in the home, right?
Yeah.
And that's a common occurrence, I guess, right? Lawyers say, well, you get the house, you're dividing assets, and you get a house that you can't afford, right? But yet you have the house, because a house means a lot in America for security, safety, all kinds of things. I created this home, and I get the home.
Yeah.
But yet you can't afford it, and you start dipping into other kinds of financial instruments to help you pay for it. That's not a good move.
That's not a good move at all.
Right. The house is just a symbol, right? House is not a home. This is really another song.
Come on.
House is not a home.
That's right.
And so that's an asset you might just want to move on from.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the first things to look at is setting your budget. So if you're going through divorce or you're out of a divorce and you're trying to pick back up, then go ahead and complete a budget. Look at how much money you have coming in. Look at your expenses and look to see where you can save so you can have a positive cash flow. You may have been the spouse that's never worked before or have been underemployed. And now you have to take care of yourself. And you may have a nest egg via alimony or this quadro that we just mentioned. If that's the case, look to see how that can last you the rest of your life. You can't, some of the things that you've done before, you might not be able to do now.
Right.
But looking at the budget is going to be crucial.
Right. Well, that's such an interesting point you make, because in this same Fiscal Times article, it talks about alimony. And it says, individual receives alimony as a part of a divorce settlement, needs to plan for the possibility of death or disability by the person who pays the alimony, right? So how do you protect that? I guess is there ways to protect that for individuals?
Yeah. One is what I've seen before, too, is to have life insurance in place. So I am a huge proponent of life insurance for many, many reasons. But one is for this, because what happens if alimony is being paid and the person passes away? What happens if there is a specific number for the retirement or for the quadro that needs to occur, but the money isn't there yet? Or sometimes what you'll see is they'll receive part of the pension, right, in their retirement. But what if it's not even fully funded? That could be a problem.
Right.
Right. So we've seen where people have gotten divorced and they were expecting the pension, but then the pension fund failed. Now what? And then the other spouse passes away. So there's no way to recoup those things.
Wow.
So looking at life insurance can be a way to make sure that you are protected.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you get married, you should have life insurance for each other. If you love somebody, you should be buying life insurance.
Sure.
And then even if you don't like them anymore, then the other person should keep that life insurance, especially if they're going to need that.
Right.
Just in case something happens.
Wow. Wow. So when I think about this other so-called cheap option, divorce disability insurance, what a concept.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean,
how
does that work?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's disability insurance in case someone becomes disabled.
Wow.
If they go through a divorce, they'll still be paid that money.
Wow.
They're coming up with more and more because of how often this happens and how severe, and especially with the baby boomer age group where really our wealth is.
Right.
You see that they're coming up with many different plans and designs to really help protect the other spouse.
Right, right. It just sounds like there has to be such cooperation among the principals to make these things happen. Because I suspect that there are couples who are wishing good thoughts about the other.
Yeah.
And these processes, let alone. But then again, if there's children involved, then there ought to be a larger, you know, financial plan, right? It removes their own personal interests.
It should.
To the family interest.
It should, but it, again, because of the emotions, many times it doesn't happen. But that's why you have third parties, you have the attorneys to make sure, and the court system to make sure that these things do happen.
Right.
But hopefully, if you are going to get a divorce, then, and you have a family, even if you don't, then think about the other person.
Right.
And try to sit down so both of you can really move forward the right way.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, we've talked about how communication rules the nation.
Yeah, it does.
And communication definitely needs to happen, even if things aren't as cute as they used to be.
Right, right. In our previous conversation, we talked about financial infidelity. And in the case where the one person has huge debt that the other might have to inherit.
Ooh.
And in fact, it could have been the source of the problem, right? Mm-hmm. What happens there? How do you manage the debt of your mates?
Well, what typically happens, and what I've seen to happen, is now you get a divorce, that debt is your debt too.
Wait a minute.
Oh yeah. So now you have to split that debt. So if you are, I've seen many cases where you are the breadwinner, and then you have the other spouse maybe have made emotional impulse purchases because of the downward spiral of the relationship, then now all of a sudden you have this huge credit card debt, or you know, this extra bill from somewhere, this extra loan. You get a divorce, you got to pay for part of that.
Wow.
And if you make more money, you might have to pay a significant portion of that to get out of it. So it could be very, very expensive, not just from the asset side, but the debt side, too. So you have to plan, even if you are the primary breadwinner for the family, you still have to think about all of these things. And you're going to have to budget out, because your money's not going to look the same. Your retirement's not going to look the same. So those things have to be accounted for.
Wow.
The debt, too.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty telling. And
I know.
Also pretty frightening.
I know.
Right.
I know.
So communication rules the day.
I hope that this scares some folks and they say, you know what, we're going to go ahead and stay together and work this thing out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Particularly if you are, quite frankly, in the baby boomer age, you know, you're ready for retirement. You know, or I've also read that, you know, couples rather than divorce will get a legal separation.
Yep.
Right. Which in some ways will help to manage the financial.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Fall out of that. How does that sound?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've when you meet and worked with many people as I have, I've had some clients and they have since passed away.
Mm.
But they were married for 40 years, lived together for 10. And that was it. I'm sorry. They're married for 50 years. Lived together for 10, so they literally were separated for 40 years, but did not get a divorce.
Wow. Well, So I know of a couple that you know, wanted to be together, but they had both come from a, you know, terrible situation, and chose not to divorce because one was getting alimony. There was some financial entanglements, really, and they thought not to jeopardize that.
Mm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they never married, which was really interesting.
You know. We're actually seeing that more and more.
Really?
You know, there are more singles now than there are married folk. So you're seeing a lot of people to say, you know what, we're going to keep the courts out of our lives. They're following the stars who are doing this more and more.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You're seeing more of that, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You see that. So, my wife is all, she knows what's going on out in L.A.
Right.
And so she definitely keeps me up to speed on that stuff. But
right. You guys don't live in California.
No, we don't.
So, we don't. I just know this from afar. But I hear this sort of a state dynamic. Explain what happens in California if you divorce.
Oh, man. And
we are in North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, we are in North Carolina. But it is a significant portion of your assets can go. I mean, you have California has taxes. There's so many, I mean, it can be ugly.
Right.
It can be ugly. I can go on and on and talk about
That's
California.
What I understand.
Yeah. So California is just a place where, it can really get ugly very, very quick. If you decide to get a divorce, that's why you see so many attorneys there who get prenuptials, and I've even seen so many postnuptial agreements.
Postnuptial.
Afterwards. Say, you know what? We need to get this stuff straight. Even though we're married, I love you.
Right.
We need to get this stuff straight because everybody on our block is getting a divorce. So there's a good chance we might as well.
Right.
So let's go ahead and just at least divide our assets up so we can move forward.
Right. So what do you think about that, you know, prenups and so forth? Obviously, in the event that, you know, a couple breaks up, they're preparing, right, for the separation of assets or however that plays out. What do you think about that?
Well, I think a prenuptial can be a wise tool. When someone has significant assets and not really between each other, but you think about it, the inheritance is for the children.
Sure.
Right. So to keep the relationship going, because if not, if you don't have a plan in place, you could work. Let's say you have a you decide to get a divorce and you only married for, let's say this is your second marriage. Cause many people have been married 2, 3, 4
sure.
times.
Sure.
Let's say this is your second marriage. Didn't work out. But the bulk of your money was made in your first marriage. Well, now she could get a large sum of money that could go that or maybe should have gone to their kids.
Okay.
Right? So that's why I don't have anything against it.
Sure.
But at the same time, if you love somebody, you should be prepared to give them
right
what you have.
Wow.
I mean, that's what marriage is all about.
Right.
And if you're not prepared to do that, mm-hmm. then do you really want to get married?
Right.
So that's one question. And then if you get married and things are tricky because you have, again, estates and, mm-hmm. you know, you have kids mm-hmm. by different, mm-hmm. you know, by different people,
mm-hmm.
Then those are different things you should think about. And a postnuptial, even after you're married, mm-hmm. can make sense. I don't necessarily believe, Nick, that it's, because, you know, I really don't love this person enough
sure.
that I should do a prenup or a postnup.
Sure.
So it was clearly not for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't do one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
right.
I know my wife
right.
and I are going to be together forever.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
So, you know, as I mentioned in a previous show, Regina and I have been married for 36 years now.
Yep.
And so, you know, when we got married, we made sure we divided or had a plan to divide all of our assets, which were none. And so we were really, really, really clear about
okay,
that.
Okay,
there
you go.
There was no confusion, right?
There you go.
Of how those assets would be divided, you know? So this whole conversation, even emotionally for both two married guys, is one that sort of kind of brings a certain cloud over, right? Because you mm-hmm. just feel weird about the conversation because we're happily married.
That's right.
Right? And
That's
so
right.
and so we see our lives connected and wired, right? With that, with our life mate.
That's right.
Right. But these are interesting conversations, and I hope our audience gains something from this conversation.
You Absolutely.
Know? You got to have these kind of conversations. It's important to have this sort of thought, you know, we can explore.
It happens. It happens far too frequently. It's a part of life, in certain instances. So it's important to budget. And it's important to communicate
yes.
to the spouse
yes.
and quit paying all these attorneys all these fees because you're mad at them or her, right?
Mm.
Please, just stop that.
Wow, that's good stuff. That's
right.
good. So this is a conversation we can have forever. Thank you so much, Glenn. Good to see you. I'll see you next week.
See you.
This has been The Worth Report with your host, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright. To learn more about Worth Financial and to speak to one of their advisors, call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or log on to worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com.